Before the cacophony pulls you back in a sonic storm built to grab your listeners' pulse and pull them in.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the show where we find business owners where they are and lead them where they want to be. If you're listening to this show today and you want to stay exactly where you are, you can go ahead and turn this off and go on to the next one because we are all trying to grow. If you're looking to get your business in order and up and booming, then this is the show for you. I'm Lauren Howard.
And I'm Coach Dan Callahan. Welcome to the Better Business Podcast. Buckle up, everybody, and get ready for some great insights and some inspiration. Welcome to the show. Our guest today is in the business of attorneying, also known as an attorney. And he's a good friend of ours. His life at home, he's got an awesome partner. They just got an awesome new house. They have some awesome kids that they spend time with. And he has, I would say his noticeable skill is being really relatable and really available to his clients. And I would say he's a great business owner and a great friend. Introducing Grayson Colt Holmes from Holmes Law. Welcome, Colt.
Well, thank you for having me. That was a very nice intro. I appreciate that.
What's going on, man? How are you feeling? You're on the show now.
I'm feeling I'm energized. It's a Friday.
Yeah.
Right? The weekend awaits.
Yes, it does.
Yes. So tell us a little about your story, Colt. How'd you get to where you are now? Where are you from? Give us a little bit of the backstory. You know, where you were born, family, etc.
So it might not sound like I'm from South Georgia, but I'm from South Georgia, born and raised, right? Middle of nowhere. Well, the hub of Southwest Georgia, Albany. I grew up there. Most of the family is from the Wiregrass area of Alabama, if you know where that is, southeast.
Okay.
Or the southwest part of Georgia, or the Panhandle. Okay. So it's very flat, very hot, very humid. Mm-hmm. And I grew up there in the 90s, which was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And as soon as I graduated from high school, I got into the University of Georgia. For those that know Georgia geography, it's above the Nat line. So it's a little bit different. It feels more northern. I went there for about 4 years. Knew I wanted to go to law school, but I wanted to take a break in between. So I took a year off, lived in Atlanta, worked for a company called N3, Niched Cubed, which was a cold calling marketing company.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Had to do 100 calls a day.
Oh yeah. Smile and dial, baby.
Wow. You know it. So we're really focused on trying to get into the company's Rolodex and who was in charge of IT or HR or whatever the product, Microsoft product we were trying to sell. You know, see if there was a need. We're developing leads.
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
All about that. That's how my crash course into sales.
Yeah.
Develop a lead and then send it to the customer who's trying to sell the product.
Yeah.
Right. Did that for about a year and then came up here to law school.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a tough job, man. And you know, for those of you who haven't done cold calling, it really builds some thick skin because you get told to F off a lot and it's such a transferable skill, building resilience and being able to do the research to find out who the decision makers are. Like all that translates into so many other parts of business. So
yeah. And you have to be a people person. You have to really sort of like, you have to strive for that conversation.
Yes.
And then once you get it, it's like you caught a fish, right?
Yes.
It's like
you've such a good feeling.
Yeah. 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 But you know, I didn't want to do that my entire life. Yeah. I originally did not want to be a lawyer. I wanted to be an architect.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I wanted to design skyscrapers.
What changed?
I went to high school and got involved in mock trial.
Okay.
Yeah. So mock trial was, we had a really good program. We had attorneys from the area that would come and coach us. And we compete, it's high school level, but Georgia has a really strong mock trial program. And so I'd go into court and actually be be like pretend to be an attorney, and I fell in love with the courtroom.
Yeah,
so cool. I was like, nope, not going to build.
Got a taste of it, and that was
So I decided to become a lawyer because I knew I wanted to practice law, and I knew I wanted to be in a courtroom.
Yeah,
which you know, there's some lawyers that started their careers like that. Most do not, though. And I came up here and started law school at a time when the recession was hitting.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a lot of people that were kind of like, well, I don't have anything else to do.
Right.
So I'll go to law school. And it's like, you know, my drive was a little bit different.
Yeah. Right. You actually wanted it rather than just doing it because maybe a family story or somebody pushed them like, oh, you got to be a lawyer or doctor. I hear that all the time.
It was
actually an inspirational drive.
No. My parents come from humble means. So my dad, copy repairman, worked at Xerox.
Okay.
So he would actually travel over the area of Southwest Georgia to schools, prisons, fix their copy machines.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. My mom was in sales at McGregor Golf. They had a plant. I think they had a plant in a sales office, obviously, in Albany.
Like the gas station golf or like?
No. Like golf.
Oh, like McGregor,
McGregor, they actually made golf clubs.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. And if you followed golf in the 80s, is Jack Nicklaus?
Yeah.
The Bear?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep. Yeah, they were big.
Yeah, so McGregor, he was a part of their product and their franchise. And so my mom actually had signed golf clubs on the wall.
Wow. Posted.
But yeah, I know, it was awesome. But what she did when I was in middle school is she put herself through nursing school. So she transitioned from that, went to nursing school while working and having a family and kids. Mm-hmm. I know.
Yeah.
And then became a nurse. And now they're both retired.
Yeah. That's sweet. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So
if you retire, you're doing something right.
Right. So I didn't become a lawyer because, you know, someone in my family was a lawyer. I mean, I had an uncle that was a pharmacist, but that for the most part, everyone in my family, you know, most didn't go to college.
Right.
So I was kind of the first to really go to graduate school, say for, you know, the uncle that was a pharmacist, but.
Yep.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, so how did you end up kind of figuring out, because there's obviously so many different tracks you can take once you get out. Like, how did you figure out what areas you wanted to practice in?
So I just knew I wanted to be in a courtroom. In mock trial, when you're doing cases, you're either advocating a civil case or a criminal case. And actually, one of the cases that I will never forget involved a golfer who had a flat tire, and some guy came up and took the golfer's 9-iron and didn't kill him, but beat the living age out of him.
Wow.
I don't know if
I
can curse on here.
Anyway. Yes, you can.
Okay. Beat the living hell out of him. So we... you know, we had the case and you have to do that. I would always end up on the defense. I would always be an attorney on the defense because everyone wanted to either be the plaintiff's attorney advocating, or they wanted to be the prosecutor.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd always be on defense. So as I'm going through law school, I'm okay. Well, maybe I'm more defense oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get a internship at a DUI criminal defense law firm.
Ah, cool.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Which was awesome because I actually got to go into court.
Yeah.
So I'm in law school. I'm not a lawyer, but I'm able to be a certified legal intern, which is an actual process that allows me to go in front of a judge with a lawyer right beside me, and I actually argue and act like a lawyer, even though I'm a law student.
Oh, cool.
That's
cool.
That was really cool.
First-hand learning right there.
Yeah, yeah. Get to actually meet the judge, meet the prosecutors. So I started doing pretty much just criminal defense for 5 years. And that was the track that I started. But, right, the opposite of the criminal defense is the?
Prosecution?
Yes.
All right, glad I passed that one.
Great.
I work with a lot of attorneys. That would have been a bad one to miss.
And in Connecticut, they're known as state's attorneys. Some people call them district attorneys in other states, state's attorneys here. So you deal a lot with the same people. Because the state's attorney has an office in the courtroom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're going, you know, to that court, it's the same people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Different courts have different people, but for the most part, you're dealing with the same people. The state's attorneys really liked me, and they sort of, they convinced me to switch sides.
Oh.
Yes. So I became prosecutor.
Ah.
Holy moly.
Yeah. Still doing criminal.
Right. But
court.
Now you're
on the other side.
You're on the dark side?
That's what the defense attorney said, right?
Right.
But of course, the prosecutor's like, oh, come to the light.
Right. And since you started as a defense attorney, technically, you got converted to the dark side.
Yeah, no, technically. But that only lasted for a year because the state of Connecticut decided to lay off all the new prosecutors, among other state employees. So in 2016, I got laid off.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so short-lived.
Short-lived, but definitely worth the training, definitely worth the experience. I got to see the other side of the coin, which was nice. And so it gave me an appreciation of what the state is doing because they, for the most part, at least in the GAs, and the GA is a geographical area court, they're dealing with a lot of people. They're dealing with a lot of stuff. They have dockets that are 200-300, you know, cases long sometimes a day.
Yep, right.
So I got to appreciate sort of what they have to do. But I didn't go back solely to criminal defense. I actually went back and worked at a firm that did a lot of civil defense.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Civil defense specifically for car accidents. So when someone got into a car accident and they it was alleged that they were at fault, their insurance company would get involved and their insurance company would hire our firm to defend them.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that. I told the firm, I'm like, I'm going to do criminal law. I've been doing it for 6 years. I know it.
Yep.
And people know that I've been doing it. So they're going to give me referrals.
Right.
So you
right.
got to let me do criminal law too. So I was the only one in the firm that would do the civil defense and criminal defense.
Yep.
And then we were also doing some plaintiff's work.
Okay.
So I got trained in doing the civil side, both sides.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it was a really good experience. I worked there for almost 9 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then I decided to become a business owner, which is why I'm here.
Yes.
It's beauty.
Yes.
The full circle now.
There you go.
Sweet, man. So now that you're in business, you know, what are your goals? Like, what do you want this thing to be? Like, what do you have like a vision? Did you like start this because you wanted to just like do your own thing, or because you're like, I want to have a firm with a bunch of people. You know, what are you looking for? What's your goal?
Right. So when I got laid off by the state, I actually had about 2 months worth of notice. So what I was doing, I was trying to apply for firm jobs, but I was also toying with the idea of going solo and creating my own business. That was 9 years ago, almost 10, and I was much younger. And so I had created my business plan, but I was too shy to actually, you know, trigger it.
Mm-hmm.
And that had been in the back of my mind for the entire time I was working at the firm that I got the job at.
Yeah.
Right. And practicing on the defense side, I was seeing a lot of solo attorneys on the plaintiff side. Mm-hmm. Right. So I was actually interacting with people who were doing their own thing, working from home, or they had their own office, or they had a career that was just them and their paralegal staff.
Yep.
So it sort of demystified and made me less anxious about doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just decided to take the big step this year. And I had a plan in the sense that I wanted to maintain the type of law that I do, but also sort of create a business that could survive, that could actually like be prosperous.
Yep.
And, you know, just kind of seeing what other lawyers were doing, I kind of formed like a 3-part plan. But that was a plan that, you know, would keep my business going. As far as like for the future, I don't know, man. I just want to practice law. I want to be successful. Mm-hmm. I want people to say, hey, I need Colt.
Right. Yep.
And I want to go into court.
Right.
Where I'm at right now.
Do you want a firm with like other lawyers that work for you, or do you want like just paralegal team, or like how big do you want to get?
So I think eventually, yes, because what I've noticed is that sort of if you want to retire, or if you want to really sort of roll back your practice as you're getting older, you have to have someone else to sort of do the main work for you.
Yes.
And when I say for you, I mean, you know, you're the mentor, you're still involved, but you're not doing a lot of the running around.
Mm-hmm.
I go to court every, like, I want to say every day. It used to be every day. It's probably like 3 times a week. And I'm traveling. I'm traveling to Milford. I'm traveling to Torrington. I'm traveling to Middletown, you know? Mm-hmm. And to have someone else do that eventually would be a plan, especially when I want to kind of step back.
Yeah.
Right now, though, I'm loving it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice, dude. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So then now that you're on your own, right, you've had the experience with the other businesses and, you know, you've had other types of work experience too. Like what do you think makes, you know, Holmes Law different and unique? Like what is it about you that you're going to bring with your business that's just going to be a different experience than the other guys?
So, and I don't know if this is a generational thing because all the lawyers that I used to work with, you know, they were older. But I grew up in a time where everyone has a cell phone.
Right.
Everyone's texting. Now everyone's on social media. And the biggest complaint I hear, and really the biggest reason lawyers get grieved is because they don't communicate with their clients.
Yes.
Right. The client calls the office, a paralegal answers, I'll leave a message with the attorney never calls back.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I've had that experience.
There you go. Yes. Not with me, though.
Absolutely not.
Me too, 100 times.
But so one of the biggest things for me is I'm really easy to communicate with. I always have my phone with me. Texting is easy. The bar kind of shies away from that because it's easy to lose text. Yep. I keep all of my text because you want a record, right? You want,
yeah.
If there is an issue in the future, you want to say, no, this is the communication that we had. So I try to be as open and available as I can because a lot of the people the clients I have, they need an attorney to answer their questions. They need an attorney to be there for them, and they don't want to feel like they're just another file, right. You know?
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. Second thing is what I've been talking about. I've done both sides. And so I try to make myself as relatable as possible to the other lawyers I'm dealing with because it's the law, it's the legal system, but it's run by people,
right?
It's got human fingerprints all over it.
All over it.
Yeah.
So the best way to deal with the system is to just be a person, human.
Yeah. And it'll be interesting as you scale the business, what that looks like. Right. And cause I think that's that is a great unique selling proposition of availability and communication. Cause that's one of the biggest fears people have of doing business with an attorney is that they don't give a shit about me. Right. So I think that can be the cornerstone of your culture as you grow this thing out. And that's the people that you hire need to really care about people like you do. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. People are always, I think as a person in this world, we're always looking for feeling as if we have some value.
Yes.
Right. And one of the easiest ways to make a person feel like they're valued is to talk to them.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's what I try to bring to the table.
Yeah. And there's something about when you reach out to somebody and they're like, bam, and they've messaged you right back. You get some of that. Like you feel valuable. Like you were worth their time that they were able to respond right away.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. And the other thing is that if I don't do it immediately, I will forget about it or I'll put it on the back burner. And then it's really hard to like sort of shuffle back to it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I'm more of the, if it's on the top of my mind, I need to like act on it now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
I do. Yeah. I get that.
I was hammering out emails at 4:45 on a Friday today. Cause I was like, if I don't do this now, it will slip through the cracks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you don't have the same energy on a Monday morning.
Right. Yeah. Right.
No,
seriously. Yeah. Monday's like, what's in store for this week? Oh my goodness. Too much.
Yeah.
So just so we're clear on your current law practices. So for our listeners, like, why would somebody call you? What are the different markets that you're touching right now?
Sure. So my main practice areas are personal injury and criminal defense. Really what I tell people, if you have interacted with a police officer in some shape or form, you're going to need me, right? And that's because you either got a ticket. It's because you or, you know, family member got arrested. It's because you're involved in a car accident, right?
Yep.
That would be the reason that you need me. That's the easiest way to I think, to communicate what I do, because there are so many different areas of law.
Right.
So if you're getting a divorce, not me, I can help. I can help connect you to someone, another attorney that does that. But for the most part, anything with cops, I can handle.
Nice.
Yeah.
Bad boys, bad mouse.
What you going to do? You're going to call Colt. That's what you're going to do.
Call Colt.
I can see your radio commercial already coming up. Bad boys,
bad boys.
What you going to do?
Got cops, call Colt.
Exactly. There's a jingle in the making somewhere there.
Got to get Holmes to do something for you. I don't know.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And get out of the hole with Holmes.
Oh, nice.
Speaking of jingles, though, so what are your marketing efforts looking like at the moment? Like, are you doing anything to market, or are you just like trying to get, you know, any kind of awareness? Or
so this is what's really hard with a solo attorney, because, you know, practicing law takes a lot of time. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to do both, you know, firm work, practicing, and also marketing. So I've been very slow about getting my marketing strategy together, but I've had a lot of good help. And my first thing was to get a brand, mm-hmm. right? Mm. Get a logo, right? And so my name is Grayson Colt Holmes, right? And I've always gone by Colt. It's very confusing, especially for people that see my name like it's sort of written down. So first day of school, it was always Grayson Holmes, and I'd be like, it's Colt. And the teacher would have to write down Colt. but that's what I've always been called. That's what I've been known by. It's my middle name.
Okay.
And sidebar, I know you don't know me if you call me Grayson.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Which happens. And that's a great filter in my life. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like, you don't know me that well, that's fine. Let me introduce myself to you. But someone that calls me Colt, they're a friend. So I really wanted to incorporate my logo with that idea. And so I came up with a stallion, a horse.
Yeah.
Yeah. A steed, whatever, you know.
Yeah, your logo is great. I love it.
Yeah.
It came out really good.
Strong. No, yeah. Absolutely. So that was my first thing. The second thing is a website. And so now what I have to do is I have to figure out, I've got these tools. How do I actually apply them to get clients? Mm-hmm. I will say all the clients I had at the firm had the choice to stay with the firm or go with me. They came with me.
Nice.
So I've got a catalog of work that I'm doing.
Mm.
That's nice. I know. And let me tell you, I just got a call from an attorney yesterday who was trying to give me sort of like a bad case.
Mm.
And the reason he was giving me a bad case is like, Cole, I know that you just started out, so you're looking for any work you can get. And that is absolutely not the case.
Nice.
Maybe in 2016 after I got laid off with the state.
Right.
But when I decided to leave, I had a plan.
Right. Yeah.
Right. I wasn't just going to jump ship.
Yeah.
And try to tread water.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that speaks a lot to one, the relationships. You know, you're really great at building relationships, right? Which not everybody can exit a firm situation like you did and have it be so amicable and also have a big network to fall back on, right? And I think networking, it's such a big, important piece. And I think a lot of the attorneys that I see that are at one of the bigger law firms, because they're getting fed so much business, they're not investing that much time building a network. Right?
Yeah.
Whereas you're coming out and you've got all of these people that you can tap, and you've already got a book of business to start, which is huge.
Right. Right. So now the task is just try to make it sustainable and bigger.
Yes.
You know, exactly. Right. I'm a Libra. I don't know if you guys ever talk horoscope, but always looking for balance, always looking for, never want like, to stir the pot. Right.
Mm, yeah.
I always want like equilibrium.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I try to aim for.
So then maybe the next move, rather than marketing towards customers, is getting help, right? Somebody who can actually do some paperwork so that you can provide more lawyering.
Exactly. Yeah, that would be the next step. When that happens, I'm not sure, because I just started. I mean, I've had my law firm for like 4 months.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
But eventually, yeah, eventually I'll need support staff. And that's what I would, that's what they are, right? I mean,
yep.
Back, I don't know, decades ago, secretaries, paralegals, there was a huge divide between the lawyers and the non-lawyers in a firm, right?
Yep.
I view them as support. They're part of a team that I need. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'm not going to be successful, right? So that's why I like to call them support, because that's exactly what they are.
Right. Nice. And if you did hire somebody, say, what would they need? Like, what would they need to qualify? Do they have to actually be like a paralegal status, or do they have, or like, what would you need as your first employee?
So paralegals actually go to school and they get certified.
Yeah.
Right. So hiring someone to work at a firm as a paralegal, that's prestigious for them. That comes with a lot of experience that they've gone through. They can sort of, the idea is that they can come and pick up and not, they can do a lot without a lot of training. Mm-hmm. Right. Just generally, I want someone that is, that would be comfortable with clients, because I deal with not only, you know, car accidents, I deal with people who have been arrested before.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
So I need someone who's going to be comfortable, but I also need someone who's going to be good to communicate, easygoing, and is not afraid to talk to me.
Yeah. Probably a little tough too, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes you gotta be tough with people when they're not doing
Lauren would
right
not
thing.
Make a good paralegal. That's what we're learning today.
Yes.
Lauren be like, I don't care what happened.
Listen, what you should have did was not that.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing. There are a lot of bad lawyers out there. And I say bad. I mean, they might know what they're doing and they might be experienced, but they're just not good people, mm-hmm. persons. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest problems with lawyers, as you're going through law school, you are taught this, is alcohol and substance abuse. And part of that is because law is hard. And so some people don't know how to manage very stressful environments.
Yeah.
And they go to the bottle, or they go to drugs, or they go to anger, right?
Right.
And they just don't know how to communicate.
Interesting.
And, yeah. Yeah. And so, there's some lawyers that are bad. I try to not be a bad lawyer. I try to be a people person.
Nice.
Yeah.
I feel like you are.
Well, thank you.
Agreed.
So then how about how does the cash flow thing work for your business? Like, how does that, because, you know, as far as like payments and stuff, like, are they long-term things? Like, you have to wait forever to end up getting the payments, and then do you get things up front? Like, how does that work as far as the money goes?
So it depends on what type of agreement you have with a client. It also depends on what type of law you practice. And see, I was telling you, when I was coming up with my business plan back in 2016, I wanted essentially three types of money, right? So plaintiff's work, generally, and this is governed by a statute. There's actually a statute that's codified in the state of Connecticut in most states, where if you are a plaintiff's attorney, generally, you only get paid if you're successful, right? Mm. And you get paid on the back end. So you get into a car accident, you hire me. I'm going to do all the work. We'll probably have to wait until you're done finishing treatment, depending on what your injuries are. It may be 8-9 months before we're ready to talk settlement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I don't get paid until you get paid. Right. Yeah. So we may have a year and a half, 2 year long relationship, and I haven't gotten paid. Yeah. Right.
That's a long cash flow cycle.
It is. And the successful plaintiff's attorneys today have clients that they've been working with for a very long time.
Yes.
So they've been getting paid in waves.
Yep.
Right. But it's very difficult to start a firm like that when you don't have any money up front.
Yes.
So I knew I wanted, of course, to do plaintiff's work, but I also needed the type of practice where you have money up front. So a lot of criminal cases. Now, there are two ways to get paid if you're doing criminal defense. One is with a retainer.
Okay.
And a retainer is money that's up front and that's held in an IOLTA account, which is governed, regulated by the state.
Mm-hmm.
It's your money. You give it to me. It is in a bank. It's still your money. And then I bill off of it. So that could be criminal defense. That could be any sort of civil defense. Like, let's say you're being sued and you want to hire me personally, or if you want a divorce, divorce lawyers do that all the time.
Yeah.
I need $10,000. I'm going to put it in this IOLTA account. And then as I'm doing the work, I'm getting paid.
Right.
Mm. Right. That's another way.
Business probably do that too, right? Business lawyers or business attorneys, maybe?
A lot of lawyers do that.
Yeah, a lot of attorneys will take a retainer to just before they start working for you.
The contingency fee I was talking about with plaintiff's cases generally is just a plaintiff's type deal. Plaintiff's like motor vehicle accident, dog bite. We expect a big reward at the end of the case, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
If you're having a divorce, your lawyer, you need a lawyer to work for you right now. they're going to require a sum that they bill off of. So you get paid as you work. The third type is flat fee, mm-hmm. right? And you can do that in certain cases, like criminal defense, where I say, you're going to give me money up front. No matter how long this case takes, you're not going to pay me anything else. Mm-hmm. But I get the money up front or in a payment plan or whatever. And so when I was trying to decide, you know, should I go out, should I not go out, this was sort of the, I wanted three sets or three types of income sources, I guess, right? Right.
Yeah.
So plaintiff's work, retainer work, where I have a retainer, and also flat fee stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So that's where knowing your numbers and your cash flow forecasts, like that's going to be super important for you as you, especially as you're looking to scale and make capital investments for yourself, for your employees or office space, you know, whatever that is, it's, you're going to have to be really good with your numbers to be like, all right, I think this is going to settle now right. in the next 3 months, but it also may not. Right. Yeah. So just being really clear on what that cash flow forecast is, because I see a lot of businesses that, you know, manufacturing is a perfect example, right? Where they sell a bunch of work, but they don't get paid until they deliver it. Right. So understanding that cash gap of whether it's your time or your materials, what does that cash gap look like? And make sure you're forecasting.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you'll know, like, it's time to get more retainer work. It's time to get more flat rate work. Like, you know when it's time to, you should be pushing for those specific customers, right? Because you need the money faster now or to have the whatever, the stack up, right?
Exactly. So but good. I can't really put, I mean, I can advertise for, and the advertising is regulated by the Connecticut Bar Association mm-hmm. or the Connecticut Bar. But I when I wanted to become a lawyer and when I wanted to go out on my own, I didn't want it to be all about the business model.
Yep.
I wanted it to be more organic, and I really want to be able to focus on my craft, my law, right? Mm. So I can't push for a certain type of client unless I advertise, but also the majority of clients I get are, you know, referrals.
Mm.
I have a client that 5 years ago referred me a new client today.
Right.
Right. And that takes time to, those are the seeds that you have to really sort of sow.
Right. Mm-hmm.
To develop a good business. And so it really was a blessing to not go out in 2016 because I spent sort of 10 years building that network.
Yeah. Right. That's awesome. So of the three of the kind of those three different buckets, have you looked at like which of those is most profitable for you? So as far as like the amount of time investment versus the reward, like what's the most profitable?
It's always going to be plaintiff's cases because sometimes you can just get a lot of money on a case. And I say you and your client, right? So it's difficult to say
mm-hmm.
because then, you know, you get a speeding ticket. I'm going to get paid up front so I can handle your speeding ticket, mm-hmm. right? So I get enough of those. It could be the equivalent of one plaintiff's case, but you know, I get that up front versus having to wait 2-3 years.
Yeah, right. The plaintiff, and then you probably spend more time with the plaintiff's case, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's the interesting thing about plaintiff's work is that a lot of it is sort of helping the client navigate, not necessarily treatment, but sort of expectations, right? So if you're injured in a car accident, you know, some people go to the emergency room. They see their primary care doctor, but they have to go through physical therapy, mm-hmm. right? Or they have to see an ortho. Maybe they need surgery. And that is not an instantaneous sort of like fix
right.
or treatment. That could take years.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, they have a lawyer and they have a certain expectation that may not meet reality, right? Okay. Because if I settle a case, it's done. So if there's a complication a month or two after we've settled, they don't get any compensation for that.
Right.
Right.
Right. So, you know, it's one of those where the work can be just sort of keeping the client level and managing their expectations.
Right.
Yeah.
To get to benefit them more, basically.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's all to their benefit.
Yeah.
As bad of a rap as lawyers get, we have a duty to our client.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
So then now that you're here, what is the next big move? Do you know what it is? You already have it in the plan or?
Well, sort of like ground level immediate it's for me to have a website sort of launch. Mm. I have a website, but it's not really like searchable yet. Yep. I mean, you can enter in the URL or whatever, but you can't like Google it. Mm-hmm. So it's not like out there. So I need to really like sort of immediately, that's my next step. But I don't know, like 1 year plan, have staff, have support staff, have enough business that I need staff.
Right.
And then I'm always about work-life balance.
Yeah.
Again, Libra, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I love the law, I also love, time with my family.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So my hope is that, you know, a year from now when I have support staff, I can easily manage both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what that number is for recurring revenue, for you to be able to afford a support staff person?
No. I haven't crunched those numbers yet, but yeah. I will eventually. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I'm sure I could get there.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. So I think that's just something to keep an eye on. As you know, the nice part is you've got a clean slate right now. You're just starting. So tracking the metrics from the beginning can give you visibility to a lot of that stuff. So you're not guessing. You're not like, oh, I need to hire someone. Let me go back and look at all the numbers. Right.
Yeah. Right.
That happens a lot. And then you're busy. Right. You're already busy at that point. You're like, oh, I'm super busy. I need to hire someone. Let me go back and do all the analytics to see if I can hire someone.
Yeah. And then the systems too.
Yeah.
Because these people aren't going to be you. They're going to be somebody that you need to turn into you so that they can provide the same service and whatever, and they have to be able to perform. So those systems ahead of time so that they know exactly what to do once you hire them, it's going to save you a ton of time by the time you are busy as hell and actually have to have somebody and hire somebody. And you're just like, here's your book. This is how it works. If you have questions, like, just give me a call. But mostly it's dialed in.
Yeah. It's a lot of those things that you don't necessarily like, well, I don't need this yet, so I'll wait till I need it. And then when you need it, you're super busy. Right. And you know, then it's really building those systems as you go, that proactive work. Right. For those of you who've read Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, it's that quadrant two, that proactive work. It's important, but it's not urgent. Hmm. And to make sure you're carving out time on a weekly basis, even if it's 1 hour a week. Like, all right, what's the system I'm building and how much time am I investing in it?
Mm.
Yeah, this is what's so difficult about the professions, and I imagine the trades too, you know. Doctors, they want to be a doctor, they go to medical school. They're not taught how to run their own practice.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? They just learn the science, and you know, to their credit, they do a lot of work, and a lot of doctors want to be just doctors. They don't want to have their own business.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to be a general practitioner who works for him or herself, you got to learn the business part.
Right.
Yeah. And they don't teach that. And I imagine an electrician who goes to trade school probably doesn't know how to run his own company.
Right.
Or isn't taught. Right.
No.
You're right. Yeah. That's why we work with a lot of attorneys and a lot of contractors.
There you go.
For that exact reason. Because you're fantastic at that. But
yeah. All I had to do was pass a 35-question test that just, you know, basically asked me, like, what's gross profit? You know, what's the law of, you know, making sure that people get paid minimum wage? It's like, okay, seriously? Like,
yeah.
It was dumb questions in a 100-page book. That was about it.
For what?
For our contractor license, like to own a business.
Wow.
As a contractor. So we get a little bit. But they're basically just like, hey, you can't hire illegal people and just pay them $2 and do whatever you want in your field.
Right.
No, that makes sense.
That's basically why they make you pass that test for this license.
Right. So it's basically the same amount as like taking your permit test for driving.
Yeah.
Where it's like, when you hit a stop sign, do you stop, speed through, or
slow down and then speed through?
Yeah.
Yeah. The legal world doesn't have anything like that.
But that's because you're the legal world. So you already should know like everything that's illegal. Like, obviously, you're not going to just get a random dude off the street, tell everybody he's a lawyer, and then have him practice. And if you did, you'd lose your license too. And then, but you already know that because you went through the whole system.
Well, we should, but you know, there's some lawyers out there that I just want to do wills. I just want to draft mm-hmm. wills. You know, we really don't know how much money we need to hire staff.
Right. Right.
It just happens.
Right.
And there's no class that I know of, at least in law school, that does that.
Probably not.
No. There's one called Action Club, though, and I run it, so.
There you go. He gets a lot of lawyer people.
There you go.
YouTube University gets you a good first step.
That's true.
Hey.
Yeah.
Definitely. I'm sure somebody's posting some crazy stuff about being a business as a lawyer, and you'd be like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of secondary sources out there, including lawyers who sort of moved off from the practice and are trying to coach other lawyers about marketing and best business practices, which, you know, I mean, there's a market out there for it because that's
what I know. A few of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely, yeah. Man. That's awesome. Well, cool, man. So then, basically working on getting things in order, getting a new person, getting your website up, getting a digital presence, right? That's all the things that you're looking to do.
Absolutely.
Sweet, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. And I think it's just as you kind of start scheduling your weeks out, just, all right, what's the system that I'm building right now? Or what learning do I need to do around that? Like around knowing my money, knowing my numbers. That's got to be part of it. That could be part of your practice, right?
Yeah. Well, I took a seminar recently called Time Mastery.
Oh,
I think.
Wow, that sounds fantastic.
Which was great. It was actually really good because I think what it taught me is that I already have a very good sense of schedule, mm-hmm. right? So I kind of understand what I have to do to schedule for the week. But really, what solidified it was that workshop.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Glad to hear it.
Absolutely.
Nice. Yeah, man. But yeah, I don't know. What else, dude?
I think those are the big ones. Yeah. I think we'll have to have you back on in a year and then see where you ended up. Then we'll see what scaling looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, no, I was really excited to come. And the reason I wanted to come was because, this is all exciting and new for me.
Yeah. Right? We're excited for you.
I told you. I became a lawyer just so I could be in the courts.
Right.
So this is a new adventure.
Yes.
And I'm loving it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And dude, freaking excited for you. Can't wait to see what you do. And honestly, I hope I never get arrested and have to use your services or get injured or any of that stuff. But if I do, I know exactly who to call. So,
well, thank you. And I would not wish that on you either.
Thanks. Well, since the website's live, even if you can't Google it yet, how do people find you, Colt? What's the best way to contact you?
So it's Holmes Law. So the website is Holmes CT Law, right?
Okay.
So my name, Holmes like Sherlock. Some mm-hmm. people spell it without the L. You need the L. CT for Connecticut, Law for Law. Go on it. There's a form you can fill out. It goes straight to my email. All my contact information's on there. My cell phone is on there, which some lawyers will not do, but that's right. How I practice. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Shoot me a text, give me a call.
You got a social or anything like that or?
Yeah. So Facebook and LinkedIn.
Cool.
Same thing. It's at Home CT Law.
Awesome. Nice. Well, hey man, super grateful, that you came on with us and,
well, thank you.
You know, just excited to see what you're doing. And, like I said, like Dan said, we could, have you on another year just to see what things happened. And, just, I know exactly what's going to happen. We're going to be a couple people working and you're going to be freaking booming. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully it won't be too hard to get you back on the show, but, so basically, that's it, right?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for coming, man.
All right. And that concludes our show. If you're interested in coming on, just post in the comments section or send us an email at danielcallahan@actioncoach.com.
Or lauren@ppwct.com. If you'd like more information on growing your business, you should definitely look at Action Coach and figure out what their next events are, because they're going to give you a good boost into what you should be doing next. And if you're ready for one-to-one coaching, you can get a whole ton of experience from that and bring your business to the next level. But as far as if you want to be on the show because you like our content, just give us a shout or put it in the comments. We would love to have you. And that concludes.
We'll see you on the next one.
Bye.